In a lot of churches, the worship associate will commonly do a short testimonial or a reflection during the service, and Claire asked me to do one, which I was more than happy to do because I really like today's subject, which is play. If you know me, you know I like to play. I usually come to game night, and I enjoy playing all of the games with my friends here. Some games I am good at, and I play to win. A while back, Beth taught some of us to play hearts. I was able to pick up on the strategy, and I did well. I was able to win the second game. But sometimes it's okay to play just for fun. At the last game night, I played Scrabble with Torsten Fink. Torsten and Michelle are world-class Scrabble players, and they know just about every possible word from two letters on up. Going into that game, I knew the odds of my winning were infinitesimal, but it was really good company, and I did enjoy playing it. I had been playing Dungeons & Dragons with some of my friends. I hadn't played in many years, but a couple of friends at work were interested in trying it, so I volunteered to be Dungeon Master. I took a bit of time and created a world for us to play in. We've had three or four sessions so far, and the party has faced Triffids, Frankenstein and Dracula, and a killer bunny. In our skit group, we meet and play every month. We have a blast with theater games. We improvise humorous situations, characters, and dialogue. Sometimes it comes as a blessed relief during a stressful work week. The chance to play and laugh can be like therapy. So another plug for skit. Please come if you can. During school, I would draw cartoon characterizations of our teachers for the fun and amusement of my classmates. One year, I drew cartoon posters of many of our teachers, and we put them up on their classroom doors. We called this event Be Nice to Ugly Teachers Day. I still do doodles at work, both to amuse myself and my coworkers. I try to keep the mental environment light and playful if I can. The world is a very serious place, with political shenanigans, accusations of sexual harassment, news of environmental disasters, and outbreaks of violence. It is more important than ever to allow oneself to enjoy a little playtime now and then. For the quote in this week's order of service, I chose something from one of my favorite Star Trek episodes called Shore Leave. In this episode, the Enterprise crew comes upon a planet where anything you can imagine will be made to happen. After a bit of chaos, during which they tried to figure out what was going on, they finally discovered that the entire planet was constructed by a highly advanced race of beings. They made this world to be like an amusement park so that they could come and play. Mr. Sulu, surprised at this, asked, "As advanced as you obviously are, and you still play?" Captain Kirk very perceptively pointed out, "Yes, Mr. Sulu, the more advanced the mind, the greater the need for the simplicity of play." Now, I'm not claiming to be a particularly advanced mind, but I know that I need some playtime in my week. I suspect that most of us could do with more of it. So, in most churches, one might end with saying, "Now let us pray." Instead, I will say, "Now let us play."
Hello, friends. First, I want to thank the Reverend Maria Cristina for sharing her pulpit with me today. Play, what a topic to preach on in our seemingly apocalyptic times. We are confronted by increased police and civilian violence against black and brown bodies, increased gun violence, increased immigration raids, bombings, worldwide refugee crisis, and threat of nuclear war. In the last year, we have witnessed a spike in harassment and intimidation against many groups, especially against immigrants, people of African descent, Latinx people, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and trans people, Muslims, Jews, and women. We see evidence of global climate disruption through record-setting air temperatures, decline in sea ice masses at a much higher rate than predicted by climate scientists, raising sea levels, and powerful hurricanes fueled by warming ocean waters. As if this weren't enough, we have the normal losses that happen. We mourn lost jobs, roles, and communities. We mourn our loved ones who die from natural causes. Friends, we have many reasons to grieve. What am I doing here preaching about play? I'm preaching about play because we've got to do something with all of this information that bombards our senses day and night, especially if we are glued to the media pouring forth from our various devices. We need to do something so that we are able to grieve our losses instead of being numb to the world. We want to be able to hug the laughter and to feel the cry. Did you see that? I just painted the ceiling and the walls with invisible paint. Let's give ourselves permission to take a break from the weight of these matters of the world. Do you want to paint with me?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Thank you.
Jackson Pollock would be proud.
That's right. Yes, our values call us to counter injustice and express compassion. Working toward justice, especially in community like this fellowship of this church and with other groups, is one way to counter our feelings of helplessness in the midst of problems we cannot solve alone. In addition to the injustices we are exposed to in our everyday lives and through our media, many of us are under stress in our roles as caregivers. We may be caregivers through our employment and or in our biological and chosen families. We may be employed in fields such as healthcare and social services. We may be parenting children and providing care to elderly and disabled family and friends. When we serve as caregivers, we need to care for ourselves in order to avoid burnout. We need practices to sustain ourselves, whether or not we are activists or caregivers. We are all affected in ways that are not always life-giving. Friends, we need to respect the inherent worth and dignity of ourselves. Each of us has inherent worth and dignity worth respecting. We can do this by expressing self-compassion through play. When we express compassion to ourselves, we strengthen the interdependent web of existence. In a moment, let's all take one breath together. We'll breathe in and then breathe out audibly. Breathe in. Do that again. We are born playful. Children naturally release tension in playful ways. As we grow, many of us forget playful ways to release tension, or we don't learn healthy ways to release tension. Instead, many of us turn to alcohol, drugs, food, shopping, and other activities with a good intention of reducing stress. Unfortunately, those activities may result in harmful impacts, including hangovers, belly aches, credit card debt, and more. If these activities persist, they can turn into addictions with their own consequences on our relationships with others and with ourselves. As adults, we need to give ourselves permission to play. We need to create spaces for ourselves to play, and we need to unlearn some of the inhibitions we have developed. There are many ways to do this. Some people find playfulness in art, music, and drama. Others find it in social activities and exercise. What's important is that we find activities that allow us to let go of tension and replace weight with lightness. 2 summers ago, I served as an intern chaplain at a hospital. During the evening of my last on-call shift, after a full day of visiting patients, I met with a young adult who was entering hospice because they were denied an organ transplant. Immediately after that visit, I met with another patient a few doors down who was waiting to hear whether they would receive a life-sustaining transplant. A few hours later, at around midnight, an emergency room doctor called me to be with the children of a single parent who had died suddenly. After returning to my room after the emergency room visit, I meditated and tried to sleep. Images, emotions, and analysis whirled around inside me and kept me from sleeping. The next day, I tried my best to have a normal Saturday with my family while trying not to ruminate. I was mostly unsuccessful. Images of the children, the dead father, the dying young adult, and the hospital staff bombarded me. I continued to replay the events. I felt sadness and anger that the young adult had been denied a transplant. I worried about the children who had lost their parent. I replayed the emergency room visit several times with me saying and doing different things, wondering which words and actions would have been more helpful. Okay, next time I invite you to do it again with me. Fortunately, in the evening, my family went to a going-away party for friends who were moving out of the country. For the better part of a few hours, reconnecting with former coworkers, meeting new people, and engaging in ritual distracted me from the previous night's experiences. However, by the end of the evening, I found that those situations remained in my digestive system. On Sunday, I could barely eat anything or even get out of bed. Luckily, I had Monday off and was able to recover enough to make it into work on Tuesday, but I had to change my eating habits for the next several weeks. What I needed to do, aside for the minor task of letting go of perfectionism, was to learn techniques so that the difficult situations would flow through me instead of remaining inside of me. If I had ranted in gibberish and flung my body around after the emergency room visit, I might have had a more restful night. Ranting in gibberish several times the following day would have helped me take a break from ruminating so that I could have been more present with my family. Ranting and gibberish, flinging, and breathing out audibly are forms of play that are taught in interplay workshops and courses. These forms of play require no fancy style. They're just pure play. I first learned about interplay through interplay racial healing workshops that my church sponsored a few years ago. Then, at a church retreat, I attended a basic interplay workshop. The leader said that interplay was good for recovering serious people. Friends, I have a confession. I am a recovering serious person. When I heard the leader say that interplay was for recovering serious people, I thought, whoa, I could use a remedial interplay workshop because I'm not even in recovery yet. So now that I have begun recovery, I enjoy teaching interplay exformation tools such as flinging, ranting in gibberish, and breathing out audibly to friends who are having a difficult time managing their stress. Exformation counters the negative information we take in. Some of us might need to exform more than others because of how we are treated due to our race, class, gender, ability, status, and I could go on. In a moment, I will invite you to rant in gibberish. What you do is think of something that upsets you and then rant about it using the language of gibberish. Don't worry if a subject to rant about hasn't come to mind yet. It might come to mind while you are ranting, and regardless, this activity is unlikely to cause any harm. Okay, now begin. Thank you. Yes. You're pros. It's that time of year. Gibberish ranting, audible sighing, and flinging may or may not be for you. Seems like they're for you. There are many ways to play. What matters is that you find the practices that show respect for yourself. What matters is that your practices demonstrate self-compassion. We need self-compassion in a world that places us under daily stress. Today's world demands that we become strong warriors of peace. As Buddha said, you can search throughout the entire universe for someone who is more deserving of your love and attention and affection than you are yourself. And that person is not to be found anywhere. You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserves your love and affection.